Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Our paths may never cross again. Maybe my heart will never mend, but I'm glad for all the good times, 'cause you brought me so much sunshine, and love was the best it's ever been. Have missed it for the world. They say that all good things must end. Love comes and goes just like the wind. Got your dreams to follow, but if I had the chance tomorrow, you know I'd do it all again.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world, wouldn't have missed loving you, girl. Missed it for the world.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Alrighty, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It seems like it was only like last night that we did Liberty Lounge. This weekend went pretty fast. But anyway, it's Monday, and it's the 26th of November. That means, what, four more days till December, and that'll be the final countdown for this cotton-picking year. It's unbelievable to me. I don't know if any of you have been watching what's going on in Eastern Europe over there. It looks like there's a possibility. I haven't checked on it here for the last few hours, but looks like there's a possibility that Ukraine might be declaring war on Russia here pretty quick. A lot going on over there, a lot of some of the military bases around the country right now, particularly Alaska, much heavier security, airplane, you know, gate security, types of airplanes coming in there that don't normally. One person told me they was sure they saw a B-2 bomber, and in a place where they virtually never go, but it couldn't be confirmed. So a lot of stuff happening right now. And I think, and besides for what's going on down on the border and the election fraud and, geez, the fire in California, I don't know how Amy finds any good news whatsoever to talk about. And, boy, it sure looks like my sound is low there. You guys, does it sound? Let me push this up here. Does that sound better? It looks a little better. Let me check in my chat room here and see what's going on. Okay, well, nobody's complaining about low sound, so I guess we'll just let it go with that. All right. Yeah, Doc, that's a point there, that Ukraine might indeed be doing that without background from NATO. Well, that could very well be. Could very well be. All right, we're going to go through, well, before we go through these stories, let me talk about a little bit. We are, you know, we've talked about various expedient ways to do different things, like IVs and quick clot, you know, blood stopping agent, all kinds of different things that we try to figure out how we're going to do some of these things when the poop hits the fan. And in some regards, some of this can be done very well before. I mean, just for saving money. One of those things is quick clot. Now, I don't know if Chuck ever talked to you about this back when he had the Medic Shack on here, but even if he did, that was quite a while back, so we're going to go over it real quick. Quick clot changed a few years ago, quite well, what, 10 years ago or so, to a different type of agent that is less, what's the word, the thermal something. Anyway, it's not as hot. The original quick clot was really hot, and it would, yes, it would stop the bleeding, but yes, it would give you pretty severe burns, especially if used, you know, too much of it. So they changed a few years ago to kaolin clay. I think kaolin is how you pronounce it. K-A-O-L-I-N. And kaolin clay is white as snow. And the stuff that you buy is as fine as flour, as diatomaceous earth. It's real fine, pure white powder. And you can, well, let me back up to the quick clot a little bit. Quick clot works well. It's a great agent, but it is terribly expensive for what you get. It's stupidly priced for what you get. Because of that, many people don't, in the first place, a lot of people don't even know about it. In the second place, they don't buy enough, if any, to keep in their first aid kits and around the house. One of the primary things in especially in a poop hit the fan situation, you have a severe wound that's bleeding heavily. That need that has got to be stopped. There's not a never-ending supply of blood there that just keeps pumping until you finally find somebody that can do something about it. Depending on how bad it is, you have a very limited amount of time to get that bleeding stopped. And while all this is going on, you have the very real possibility of shock setting in, and this could all be problems compounded by a hostile fire, bad weather, animals, whatever, a lot of other things. So it's imperative that you are able to stop that bleeding quickly. Now, this kaolin clay, you can use it right out of the package, but it's not a great idea. Use that only in an emergency. It's so fine that what could happen is it could be sucked up into one of those veins, and obviously there's going to be veins open or it wouldn't be bleeding. And this stuff is so fine that it can get up in there and cause, what's the word for it? Thrombosis, I think. Anyway, what it is, it actually stops up one of the veins deep inside there somewhere. And like I said, in an emergency, well, we'll just have to worry about that when we get to the hospital, when we get to some other care, but the bleeding has to be stopped or you're going to die. So, a solution to that is to buy the clay. Comes in, what we bought was, 1 pound packages. And mix it with water and put it on a cookie sheet and dry it and make your own quick clot. So what I did was used, it doesn't make very much. For as much as you put in there, when the water's gone out of it, there ain't much left. So what I did was about 4 cups of clay to 2 cups of water. Actually, it was a cup and a half of water and a half a cup of colloidal silver. And that worked out fairly well, it worked out really well, but when the water was all gone, it left a pretty thin layer of that stuff in there, but it dries into a good firm, I'm not going to say a wafer type stuff, but it sticks together really well. And what you want to do is crumble that up into a substance that resembles cat litter. You don't want to get back to the same powder that it was before. That's what we're trying to avoid. So you break this up into, just put it in a plastic bag and squish it in while it's in the bag, and then protect the bag a little bit from being squished anymore, because you do not want to turn it back into a powder. So get a good sturdy bag of some kind and then put that in maybe a pill bottle or a secure pocket in a first aid kit where it doesn't get mashed so bad. But you don't want that to be, how something to be rattling around, rolling around, getting mashed and set on and one thing and another, and it could be, turn it back into powder. So we want to avoid that. And that can be used just like it is in smaller wounds. But the better thing to do, especially in bigger wounds, is to turn that into, and Quick Clot started doing this. They didn't do it from the beginning. They just started doing it a few years ago, started making a Quick Clot gauze. And you do the same, make the solution the same way, unroll some gauze and dip it in there, get it good and wet, and then lay it on a cookie sheet and dry the gauze. And then roll that up lightly into I should say loosely, I guess. You don't want to roll it real tight, but, you know, kind of medium. And roll that up into different size and different length deal. You might take some, let's just say 6-inch long piece of that gauze and roll that lengthwise for larger wounds. Well, the gauze is only 1.5 inches, 2 inches thick, so that's not going to be very good roll of stuff. What you can do is take and cut 3 or 4 pieces of that 6 inches long and roll them up together while it's wet and then dry it that way. The problem with that is you have to be certain somehow that on the inside is thoroughly dry. So the better way to do it is to dry it and then roll it up. Shake the dust out of it and package it that way. If you roll it up wet, it's going to be a long time drying. But anyway, package up different sizes of that, and that is definitely the best way to go, especially in larger wounds. Now, that stuff's not real expensive. I got some on Amazon. I think it was $17 for 2 1-pound bags. And that makes quite a bit of quick clot. And there's other uses for it too. I'm not an expert on all the things that you can do with this clay, but you can take it internally also. And I'm not sure what the benefits are of that. There's some other clay that you can get, like from same people that make the sea salt that we use, real salt. And, you know, they say it's been used for centuries for digestion issues and whatever. So I haven't really gotten into that. I'm not too worried about it right now. But the, mountain shooter, you know, I'm going to slip that colloidal silver in there whenever I can. Amy had a good article that she sent me a while ago about colloidal silver. It's another one. It basically says the same thing, so it's more of a confirmation to me than a whole new story, but it confirmed a lot of stuff that Dr. Robert Beck said, and a lot of that I've repeated on the show. But it was a good, interesting article. A lot of stuff, very detailed, very, very long article. And I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I plan to, because I like to know as much about that as I can. There was a few things in there, a couple things that are kind of conflicting with the way that we usually make it, and I have no intention of changing anything because of that article. It's been working well for 20 years, so I'm probably not going to change that right anytime soon. But nevertheless, it was a great article. Yakima Glock, that's for $10 for a 3x3 sponge. Now, you can make those sponges the same way for, I don't know what the cost would be for what little bit you'd use for one sponge like that. But I'm going to guess probably somewhere to the tune of, the cost of the gauze. You make a sponge, get some, that 2x2 square deal. Now, the 2x2 square, it depends on the wound. If you can't pack it in the wound, more shallow wounds, maybe that would be better to put on the outside. But what this clay does is sucks the moisture out of blood and leaves the natural stuff to coagulate, as it would naturally when when you take the water out of the blood, it dries out. That's kind of what, there's several other agents. One of the best things that nature has to offer for stopping blood loss is spider web. But the thing about spider web is there's usually not a whole lot of it laying around whenever this wound happens. So if you haven't planned ahead and put some of that in a pill bottle or something and saved it, then it's not, Amy said she'd rather bleed to death. The thing about spider web is it's primarily made up of vitamin K, which is a natural, coagulant, I guess, that makes your blood stop running. So spider web is probably the very best natural thing that you can get, is just finding enough of it. If you find a big bunch of spider web, usually it's because they're abandoned and there's all kinds of bugs and sticks and all kinds of dust and everything else in it. But if you could just find a spider and squish it and squirt a bunch of spider web stuff in the... then that would be the way to do it. Or if you could find a little thing like Spider-Man has and shoot a cup full of it in there right quick, well, that would be a good thing. So spider web to me is not high on my list. It's nice to know, but, you know, it's just too inconvenient and everything. Let's see here. The Yakima Glock, I think it was Pumpkin Cat. Yeah, she just put it up there again. Kaolin clay, Kaolin. Doc says be sure and put lots of antibiotics in the prep. I don't put any on antibiotics. I have absolutely none except colloidal silver. But that's not true. I do have some powdered stuff in the freezer that had it for quite a while. I think it's still all right. But let's see what else is going here. A lot of discussion going on here in the chat room. Anyway, you can make the sponges. You can roll that gauze up and make sponges that way. You can make square sponges with, the pre-cut, or cut it yourself. It doesn't matter. But whatever it takes to get this clay into the wound. Now, that's not where it ends, though. This is the problem, is that when you put this stuff in there, every bit of it has to come out before you close that wound, and that can be an issue. It's less of an issue when you use the gauze. It's a little bit more of an issue when you use a chunk form, granule kitty litter size stuff. It's a little bit more of a problem. It's a whole lot of problem when you use just the raw powder itself. That stuff has to be washed out. Now, the other day, I think, what was it, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that, we talked about using, I think I talked about it on, maybe I didn't. I talked about the tools that I got from Lowe's, the knife and the saw and the rubber gloves and that kind of stuff. But I don't remember if we talked about the saline. But even if I did, I'm going to talk about it again briefly here. Walmart has a type of saline, and it's not contact solution. It's strictly a saline. It's sterile. It comes in, I believe, 8 and 12-ounce bottles, or 8 and 16-ounce bottles. I don't remember. That is an awesome resource to put into your first aid kits and stuff. It's cheap. It's sterile. It is, it's great for irrigating wounds and cleaning that stuff out, or cleaning anything out. You got dirt, debris, whatever inside your wounds. That stuff needs to come out before you close the wound as much as possible. And, of course, it's not really possible or feasible to get it all completely 100% out like they do in an emergency room. We just don't have that kind of resources. But we managed to get by with that for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Learned a little bit along the way. People got infection and lost limbs and lost lives and everything else while we were learning. But we managed to get through it, over the years. That's not to say that it's okay to get most of it out and then go ahead and sew it up. You need to get as much out as you possibly can with a small, soft, like a toddler's toothbrush, a little soft brush to scrub that out of there. And the thing about that, those saline bottles, is it's got a squirt nozzle on it so that you can really put some force in there. to squeeze the bottle hard and rinse that wound out good, or well, I guess. I would like to have, I don't know how many I've got in there right now, but I want to have at least 20 of those bottles put back. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't go bad. There's no reason to worry about it. Buy it, put it in a cabinet, and leave it alone so that you've always got it. You should have a bottle in your car, a bottle, even if it's just a small bottle, in every first aid kit. And I actually carry a small bottle around in my shirt pocket. I think I've told you about that in my 511 tactical shirts. I've got a small bottle that I carry. You can use it for a contact solution or to rinse your eyes out, but I carry it primarily for irrigation, mainly for eyes when you, smoke, dust, pollen, in a rescue effort of some kind when there's a lot of dust in the air after a wreck or an explosion or a cave-in or something like that. I've got that small bottle that I can rinse out small wounds, irrigate small wounds, or irrigate eyes and get foreign matter out of the eyes. You know, if it wasn't foreign, it wouldn't matter. But other than that, you've got to get it out of there. So that's and we've actually figured out, or Chuck did, figured out a way to use that as an emergency IV. Maybe I'll go over that one of these days and we'll talk about that. Mountain Shooter, your question's a little vague there. Salt water with a question mark, what do you mean? What are you talking about? That's a good group on that 300 mag, by the way. So salt water, yeah, saline is salt water, but the trick is it's not just getting some tap water and pouring some salt in it. It is sterile, and there's a certain percentage that it needs to be used for an IV. So, yeah, Yakima Glock, if you're just going to buy one bag, yeah, it runs about $10 for a pound, but they've got a thing on there.
I mean, I've got a package right here. It is,
it says clay, it's made, it's from Monterey Bay Spice Company, okay? Clay, kaolin, and then in parentheses it says white cosmetic. It was $17. It was a package of, it was a two-pack. You get 2 pounds for $17 and something. So that's a little better than what you're looking at there for $10 for a pound. But 2 pounds will make a hell of a lot of quick clot, and it'll damn sure soak up a lot of gauze. The thing is, you know, like I said, about 4 cups of clay for 2 cups of water. It really dissolves and just keeps going and keeps going, and you just can't. What you can do, you want to make this stuff into the thickness of a very thin pancake batter. And then put it in the oven at 250, 300 degrees. I think I did mine at 280 degrees, and it took about an hour and a half. You want to make this batter, pour it out on a cookie sheet. Of course, kind of a trick getting the cookie sheet in the oven, then you got to move kind of careful, but you don't want it any more than maybe a quarter of an inch deep. You might go 3/8 at the most. And put that in the oven for an hour and a half or so, and let it dry completely out, take it out, let it cool, and then crumble it up and put it in containers. So that's how you do that. Or, like I said, do it while it's wet, and soak your gauze in long strips and lay the gauze on another cookie sheet. Actually, you just still use one cookie sheet. You can dip it in the solution that you have in a bowl, and then spread the gauze out on a cookie sheet and let it dry and then roll it up. So, there you go. All right. Well, I think we probably ought to take a little break here, and I've got several news stories we need to dash through here before quitting time. So stay
with me. I'll be back.
I told Mary about us. I told her about our great sin. Mary cried and forgave me, and Mary took me back again. Said if I wanted my freedom, I could be free evermore. But I don't want to be, and I don't want to see Mary cry anymore. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, laugh on me. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone. I want to go home. Mary is waiting and weeping down in our shack by the sea. Even after I've hurt her, Mary's still in love with me. Devil woman, it's over. Trapped no more by your charms. Cause I don't want to stay. I want to get away. Woman, let go of my arm. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, let me. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone. I want to go home. Devil woman, you're evil, like the dark coral reef, like the winds that bring high tides. You bring sorrow and grief. Made me ashamed to face Mary. Barely had the strength to tell. Skies are not so black. Mary took me back. Mary has broken your spell. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, laugh on me. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone. I want to go home. Running along by the seashore, running as fast as I can. Even the seagulls are happy, glad I'm coming home again. Never again will I ever cause another tear to fall. Down the beach I see what belongs to me, the one I want most of all. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, don't follow me. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone. I'm going back home.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
All right, we're back. Let's see if we can wrap this up. Before we get into this veritable plethora of news stories that I've got here, let's go back to blood stoppage real quick. And one of the things that we've had a couple of medical professionals in our classes from time to time, and both of them said the same thing when we talked about that the bleeding has to stop. If you don't have anything else, pick up a handful of dirt, pack the wound full of dirt. Is that the best thing to do? No. Is it going to get infected? Probably. Is it hard to get out? No harder than the kaolin dust. But and these medical professionals were just appalled that we would even mention such a thing. These medical professionals are not combat medics. They're used to doing things in a sterile, very, very controlled environment. And they have no idea what it's like to be bleeding to death out on the battlefield or at the bottom of a cliff somewhere or the car wreck scene or something like that. We'll worry about the infection when we get you to the hospital. But right now the bleeding has to stop. You're going to die here in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes if we don't get the bleeding stopped. So yes, dirt will work. Matter of fact, if you watched the movie, what was it? What was the one where it's about the last man standing, last one out, last something or another, about the SEALs that were stuck in Afghanistan. I think it was Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever. And towards the end of the movie, one of them had been shot and was bleeding terribly, and one of the, they'd already used up all their stuff. But in that movie, there's been a couple of they said to grab a handful of dirt and pack it in the wound. So it's, you know, it is used in, do what? No, it wasn't 13 hours. What the heck was it? Dang, I can't remember. But anyhow, they mentioned that in there. And Lone Survivor, thank you, Mountain Shooter, Yakima Glock. Yep, everybody knows it but me and Amy. Yeah, Lone Survivor. Towards the end of that, just when the guy went up on the cliff and was talking on the radio and they killed him on top of the cliff, right before he went up there, if you listen, they were talking about packing dirt in a wound. And that's when, and Chuck's done that before, and that's where I got it from, was from Chuck. And then I was skeptical too a little bit, but then when it kind of confirmed it to me, knowing the nature of this movie and the advisors that they had and stuff, it kind of confirmed what Chuck had said, that not a good option, but better than nothing. Anyway, as a matter of fact, we're going to do a little class on this stuff here tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. But okay, let's go through some of our stories here. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. A lot of these, some of you may have already seen or heard, but a veteran in San Diego, the nation's oldest Pearl Harbor survivor, just died, 5 days ago, at the age of 106. Ray Chavez was his name. Kathleen Chavez had been, or her daughter had been his live-in caregiver for more than 20 years. Said he passed away peacefully in his sleep Wednesday. Health had declined in recent months. My goodness. Thank you for your service. It says, let's see, Chavez surged into national prominence 3 years after, 3 years ago, when fellow Pearl Harbor veterans recognized him as the oldest survivor of the 1941 Japanese attack that brought us into World War II. So, anyway, it's a neat story. North Korea. If you've been watching, they did a great picture of a huge explosion up on the hill there. North Korea just detonated, blew up the guard post at the southern border. What an amazing historical thing that is. Man, been there for what, since the 50s or whatever it was? But really dramatic video online where they blew all that stuff up. This is not the way I would have wanted this story to go, by any means. A teenager in Milwaukee, young black girl, wrote an award-winning essay on gun violence. And then, as luck would have it, she was shot and killed by a stray bullet. So that is not looking good for us when this kind of stuff happens. Obviously the most important thing here is a young lady lost her life. But, right behind that is the fact that because she did and because of what she talked about and brought to, she just died a week ago. And, She had died hit of stray bullets after shots were fired outside her home. Wrote an essay entitled Our Truth 2 years ago when she was then in sixth grade. The essay, which took third place in a citywide competition, explored gun violence while commemorating the life of Martin Luther King Jr. In it, she expressed how she believed the world wasn't carrying out King's message. She wrote of seeing examples of chaos almost every day and lamented that little children who were victims of senseless gun violence. And then she goes and gets shot. A 13-year-old sitting in her room Monday night, and a bullet was fired at her home and hit her in the chest. She said, and this, how horrible would this be? My word. She said, Mama, I'm shot. And, of course, the mother said, you know, she didn't deserve to leave the world this way. She said, I looked at her. She didn't cry. She wasn't hollering. She was just so peaceful, she said. Two people were arrested for it, and I hope that they determined that they were the ones to do it. And the first-degree reckless homicide with a dangerous weapon and endangering safety, one count of possession by a firearm by a felon. All right, there you have it. Oklahoma, this isn't really a bad story. It's not as... At first, I was skeptical about it. It says the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife urges caution when using AR-15 to hunt with. That's not an anti-AR-15 story, which is what I thought to begin with. But there, you know, you use caution when you use any semi-automatic, but or any gun. Period, as far as that goes. The take-home story behind this, or the take-home message behind this story right here, is not the AR-15 at all. Said the guy was, the guy's name, believe it or not, was Hunter Scales. Hunter Scales, sitting in a deer stand in southern Oklahoma, when his semi-automatic rifle went off twice, hitting him in the stomach and the thigh. He'd forgotten to make sure the gun was on safety. Okay, no, that's not it at all. It didn't go off twice because the gun was not on safety. It went off twice because he pulled the trigger twice somehow, either bouncing the gun, something fell on it, something moved, whatever. But the thing is here is keeping the gun pointing in a safe direction. At your stomach is not a safe direction. Neither is at your thigh. Loaded or unloaded, you just don't do that. That was the thing. He said he fell nearly 25 feet from the stand, and his brother was nearby and called 911. He is recovering, so that's good. But he said the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife guy said that many people use these types of firearms to hunt animals like, excuse me, hogs or deer. He says it's becoming more common. We've taken the magazine restriction off of the 22 caliber versions of the assault rifles. That's making it a lot more common for kids and things like that. Hunt with kids and things like that. Making a lot more common for kids and things like that to hunt with. He says the ARs are lightweight. They've got more parts than other rifles. Hunting with an AR rifle is more complicated. There's a lot more moving parts. It does have a safety that's very easy to use. You have a flip, you have to flip a lever. It points toward fire when it's off safety and safe when it's on safety. Okay, well, good for that. That's pretty much like a whole bunch of different semi-automatics. They're bypassing the main story. It's not anti-AR-15. I get the guy's point. I understand. But it's wrong. I understand the point, but it's wrong. The point here is common sense gun safety. If he hadn't have been pointed at himself, he would have not have had this. This story would have never made the news. He says, I don't think semi-automatic rifles are any more dangerous than any other weapons, but he admits this type of rifle is still pretty powerful. Well, no, because the type of rifle doesn't make it powerful. The cartridge, the 223, 5.56, whatever, is one of the least powerful of a great many deer rifles out there. The only way a semi-automatic rifle would be any more dangerous to hunt with than a bolt-action rifle or any more conventional type of hunting rifle is that every time you pull the trigger, if there's ammunition in it, the gun's going to fire. Got that part of it right. He encourages anyone that wants to use an AR-15 to get proper training. Now he's talking. Now he's finally getting around to the point of the thing here. All right, off we go. Let's look and know. We got 15 minutes left here. I don't know what to think about this story here. It's kind of goofy, but it says the far right represents only 6% of U.S. citizens. 67% make up the exhausted majority. I think what they're trying to do here is to make people realize that the far right, I don't know if I'm considered far right, extreme right, or if that's the people that are even past me, and you know, the ones that the way more radical right. But they say it only makes up only 6% of U.S. citizens. So on the one hand, they look and say, well, that's not very many, so maybe there's not as much danger to this as I thought. On the other hand, the way I saw it was that is twice as many as we had for Revolution 1.0. If, in fact, Revolution 2.0 is to materialize, we have twice as many people as we did before. And that's kind of what I saw in the article. Kind of a dumb article, but anyway. Pumpkin Cat's leaving us. Good night, Pumpkin Cat. Let me see what else is going on here with the doc. That's absolutely right. Blaming a stray bullet is a subtle anti-gun message. Yes, of course it is. Absolutely. Let's see. That CH-47 crew in Operation Red Wing, that was, if I'm not mistaken, due to the result of why in the world can I not think of that? I've shot them before. not a stinger, not a law. It's an anti-tank weapon, anyway. Oh, well, whatever it is. I'm sure somebody will come on the chat room in a minute and let me know. yeah, you're probably right, Mountain Shooter, compared to 20 years ago. All right, let's move on here. Wait a minute, what is this? All right, that can wait. Okay, I'll check that in a minute. All right, let's move on here. Gun checks on Black Friday. Just a quick note here. They were down by double digits, but still the fourth busiest day in the system's history. You know, that's saying something, because there's been some pretty dang busy days here. To be the fourth in history of NICS, that's pretty significant, I think. South Dakota is about to become our next constitutional carry state. I think that makes, 17 now? There's a meme going around Facebook again. RPG, thank you, Mountain Shooter. Jeez, old Pete, why couldn't I think of that? There's a meme going around, pops up every once in a while. It's been going around for quite a while, and I don't know why people post it. I don't know why people don't check some of this stuff out before they actually put it on Facebook. But it shows four states on there, and it says these four states you can carry a gun without having a permit. Now, it doesn't say concealed. It just says carry a gun. I'm assuming they mean concealed. And it says, how does your state stack up? And it's grossly outdated. because, like I said, there's 15, 16 states now that have constitutional carry, as they like to proclaim it. It's permitless carry, more correctly. But, and then there's another one that I just saw today or yesterday. And it said something to the effect of, why can't why can't they spend the time to look up important information, but they'll spend 15 minutes to do a survey to see what kind of potato you are? And that's the damn truth. You know, at first you want to laugh, it sounds funny, but people post so much stupid stuff when they could literally take 30 seconds or less. If you have good fast machine, fast phone, good service, in 30 seconds you can find out just about anything that the internet has to offer. You may have to shop around just a little bit more for some things. But they'll sit down and waste their time and take this survey to find out, you know, what kind of a whatever you are, all day long. But they won't check on important information. And yes, that ticks me off to no end. Let's see, the South Dakota thing is not, thought it might tell us here which number it's going to be, but. And that story has been pulled for some reason. Imagine that. Let's try it one more time. Okay, it's back. Also in Oklahoma. And this one happened the day before yesterday. Armed citizen kills a mass shooter at Oklahoma restaurant. Armed citizen shot and killed a mass shooter restaurant in Oklahoma on Thursday after the gunman walked in and opened fire, hitting several people. Well, as it turned out, he hit two people, not several. But a bystander with a pistol confronted the shooter outside the restaurant and fatally shot him. Oklahoma police said that alert, the only confirmed fatality is the suspect, and he was apparently shot to death by an armed citizen. Three citizens were injured, two of whom were shot. A large number of witnesses are detained. There is no indication of terrorism at this point. It's a blessing this was stopped when it was. Who knew when this guy was going to stop shooting people? That was the police captain that said that. So, once this is starting to be a pretty regular occurrence here, that a CCW holder, or maybe not necessarily a CCW holder, but somebody carrying a gun, has intervened in something like this and saved the day. Okay, with the opposition taking over the House here, they have one last chance they're trying to get out. This story came out today, trying to get national reciprocity to pass. I'm not a fan of national reciprocity. I'm a fan of national reciprocity. I'm just not a fan of the feds making it a bill. It should be a state thing. It may not turn out to be a bad thing, but it has the possibility. It has the potential of being a very bad thing. We'll just have to kind of see how it goes. But it said concealed handgun carry reciprocity is about to die. It is about to die through deliberate inaction or callous indifference of the U.S. Senate. But we have a small window of opportunity, 21 days left, to achieve the goal that has eluded us for years. It seemed assured of being accomplished by the Republican-controlled 115th Congress, but it wasn't. So we'll see what happens. Now they're going to push this awfully hard and see if they can make this happen. The Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act of 2017, they're going to try to revive this and get it moving here. So, last two things. This was amazing. I was most impressed by this. The ATF said, well, this is an older story. That's not the one I was looking at. Well, let me throw this in there real quick. The ATF said that assault rifle is a bogus term. Now, this story's a year and a half old or something like that. So, They said that white paper correctly, their white paper notice here correctly identifies assault weapons as a politically contrived term with no real meaning and recommends dramatic federal law revisions in how they are regulated. So that is related to this story. And I'm really having a hard time swallowing this one. It says the FBI releases a pro-Second Amendment statement, states the importance of armed citizens in America. Active shooter incidents are defined as any incident involving two or more, or one or more individuals who are actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill those within a populated area, gang or drug related shootings notwithstanding. There were 50, excuse me just a second here, hold on. All right, I'm back. There were 50 active shooter incidents in 2016 and 2017 combined, leaving many to question if America is in fact safer when armed. However, a recent investigation by the FBI last April showed that in numerous incidents involving active shooters, there were people who stopped them by the use of a weapon. Armed and unarmed citizens engaged the shooter in 10 of the 50 incidents. That's 20% of the time. I'm pretty good with those numbers. They safely and successfully ended the shooting in 8 of those incidents. Their selfless actions likely saved many lives. The enhanced threat posed by active shooters and the swiftness with which active shooter incidents unfold support the importance of preparation by law enforcement officers and citizens alike. So, pretty dang good right there. 10 active shooters have been confronted by citizens. 8 of them ended successfully. 4 of those 8 were stopped by a lawfully armed citizen. In one incident, the citizen possessing a valid firearms permit exchanged gunfire with the shooter, causing the shooter to flee to another scene and continue shooting. Okay, well, the guy couldn't follow him around all over town, so he did what he could do where he was at. All right, well, there you have it. That is kind of... Oh, let me ask. Amy just reminded me. The other night, when was it? It was Friday night during Liberty Lounge. I said I had gotten a coyote again, and we talked about the .22 Magnum for just a second and all that. Well, I was optimistic because the shot felt good, and right when I pulled the trigger, I was sure. But he was running. It was dark. And I was using the light, and right when I pulled the trigger, he ran behind a bush. But the shot felt good, and usually when it feels good, it's usually good. So I went out the next morning, and sure enough, piled up right behind that bush. He didn't run 4 feet after he got behind that bush. He died, you know, on his feet. And I got to thinking about that, and that is the second coyote and a bear that I've killed during my show. And all 3 times was during Liberty Lounge. So the take-home message here is predators should not disturb the music on Friday nights. I think that's how it works. So there you have it. Okay, well, we're going to scoot on out of here. The next show will be on Wednesday. What is going on Wednesday? That is... let me look at the calendar here. We got a lot of stuff going on this week, so I got to double check. I may have an archive Wednesday night because I have to get up extra early Thursday morning. We'll see how I feel, but I may do an archive that night. And I am so swamped with stuff this week, I won't be able to do a fresh, nice. Pre-record for you. That is, okay, yeah, that's Wednesday the 28th. Okay, good chance that's going to be an archive. Okay, and that morning, then being Friday. Okay, Liberty Lounge should be good. We should be able to do Liberty Lounge. So we'll See how that comes when it gets here. Wednesday will almost certainly be an archive. All right. With all that being said, I'm going to scoot on out of here. And we will see you guys again probably Friday. Possibly Wednesday, but probably Friday. All right. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.